on Radio Veritas with Father Tabo, and we have Father Russell on the line. Good afternoon, Father Russell, and welcome to Change and Gear this afternoon.
Good afternoon, Father Tabo. Thank you.
Thank you for standing in for me last week.
You're very welcome.
Indeed.
I'm sure they're happy to have you back.
Well,
after having to listen to me.
Oh, yes, trust me, they want you back. But be that as it may, I won't allow them because really, it's my platform. Be that as it may, the State of the Nation address has been postponed. And you were heading to Cape Town.
I was indeed.
Oh, my Lord. Are you still going?
So very interestingly, yes, that, the State of the Nation has been postponed. We heard that the Speaker of Parliament, Baleka Mbete, announced this afternoon. I mean, she's been under a lot of pressure, it seems, from opposition parties.
Mm.
We know that on Monday they sent her a letter. Bantu Olomisa signed that letter. It was from a coalition of parties. They actually threatened court action to stop the State of the Nation. Today, now, after the meeting of the head of the parliamentary administration, they decided to postpone the State of the Nation. But one gets the feeling that, you know, this is more about the ANC, and the ANC needs to buy time to sort out their own problems than
That's
what it is really about what the opposition parties wanted. Because we know before, when the ANC have wanted something, no matter what the opposition parties have said, the ANC has made sure that they've done that.
Their heels, yes. But now, in this instance, if it is the ANC, as you may say, trying to buy time to fix or to clean their house and get the House of South Africa in order, is there a light at the end of the tunnel for the country with the current situation of the president still in power, doesn't want to let go?
Yeah, I mean, it seems as if he doesn't want to let go. I mean, I notice now that some people, I mean, even the leader of the EFF, Julius Malema, are saying that he's expecting Zuma to resign in the next couple of hours. I'm not so sure, but, you know, he sometimes gets it right, and he's obviously got inside information.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it seems to me that, you know, you can't have somebody who there's a big question mark about whether they're going to actually be president in a week or 10 days'
yes.
time during the State of the Nation. If you think of what the State of the Nation is,
yes.
that you have, you know, you have the police out, you have parades, you've got the army, you've got the gun salute, the singing of the national anthem. I mean, this is not really about Parliament per se, but it's kind of a moment of pride in the nation.
Absolutely.
And for someone like Zuma to be standing there when people are saying, you know, you're not going to be there next week with his hand on his heart singing the national anthem, this kind of thing. I mean, you know, is this what symbolically, what does that say? And I think the other problem for the ANC is that they do know, because they've made it quite clear, that opposition parties like the EFF intend to disrupt the State of the Nation. Malema was saying yesterday that what they would do is, before the State of the Nation start, they would demand that there was a vote of
no confidence
in the president. And so I think it puts the ANC in a very difficult position, because they divided amongst themselves. So, you know, they don't want... I get the feeling as well that for people in the ANC who've got to sit in those benches to watch this kind of commotion unfold, the ANC,
really.
They can't deal with the president. And how do they defend him if these kinds of things happen? In the past, we've seen how they have defended him. But how do they defend him now if they're so divided amongst themselves? So in some ways, it's an embarrassment as well for the ANC.
And given the ANC is also in a vulnerable state at the moment.
Out.
The ANC is in a vulnerable state at the moment. They couldn't afford that.
Exactly. And, you know, and I think that vulnerability is amplified because of the fact that you have a situation where, you know, they can't be sure amongst themselves anymore who supports Zuma and who doesn't. I mean, a year or so ago, it was quite clear that the majority of people sitting in those benches were willing to back Zuma. There's been a lot of people that have changed sides. There's a lot of people that are not saying anything. It could go either way. So I think they know it's a risky recipe for them to let it go ahead. Because they are so vulnerable, as you say.
Yeah. And what fascinates me is the fact that it would not have been the first time that the EFF disrupts the State of the Nation address. But what makes it, as you say, what makes it more special this time, that eventually it leads to the Speaker of Parliament and also those responsible for the administration of Parliament to postpone it this time. Whereas before, I mean, they were they couldn't, I mean, they were not bothered, they were concerned, but they were, they really stuck their heels on the ground. And at the same time, we heard that from Thandi Modise, the speaker for the House of Provinces, and also the Speaker of Parliament, saying that they went to the President to ask him to postpone it, and he himself, we are told, was writing to the to the House of, to the Speaker of the House to postpone the State of the Nation address.
Yes, I mean, exactly. And you see, so there's another twist to it. I mean, is Zuma himself going to try and take the credit now for postponing this, when we know that the pressures really come from people within the ANC, and even, you know, sort of pressure from outside of the ANC? So, you know, I mean, some people are saying this is a kind of spin doctor thing now that Zuma is taking the credit for, for moving the State of the Nation. However, whether it was Zuma or whether it was, you know, whether it was Baleka Mbete, whether, you know, whoever this was, I mean, the fact of the matter, in a way, it seems to me they're admitting that they themselves are in no state to have the State of the Nation because of the political instability or unsurety at the moment. There's also that NEC meeting, which is going to take place tomorrow evening in Cape Town, which is the eve before the State of the Nation. So if they did decide to recall Zuma, and Zuma, for example, did agree to go, they wouldn't even have enough time to swear in somebody else as president. So Ramaphosa would take over, but Parliament would have to meet, and they would have to affirm somebody, and then the person would have to be sworn in. So, I mean, I think also they know the time is not on their side. So it seems to me that by not having it, there's also an admission that there's vulnerability, there's a mess, this is not going to go well. They're thinking as well of maybe what international people are going to say, because, you know, the State of the Nation for the last two or three years has been something that has drawn attention from all over the world because of the things that have happened at the State of the Nation. You know, one does have the feeling that internally in the ANC themselves, there's a real sense of we don't actually know what we want to do or where we want to go. We've got to ourselves line our ducks so that we know what we're moving towards.
And youth, a cat has nine lives, and Zuma has survived nine lives. I mean, is this the end?
Well, you know, I mean, that's what everybody seems to be saying. I don't want to predict whether it's the end or not. You know, I think Zuma, you know, people will say things about Zuma, and they'll say, you know that Zuma is not a smart guy and so forth. I mean, it seems to me that, you know, in the South African political scene, Zuma has been one of the most astute, smartest politicians that we've seen in a long time. I mean, he's outplayed how many people, you know. He might still find a way of outplaying people and getting what he wants out of this. Maybe he won't be president, but he'll get something out of it that he wants. So I think, you know, we have to be very cautious to think that Zuma is just going to be defeated. I mean, he's just not that kind of guy. I mean, Zuma has outplayed, you know, many people many times. I mean, he even at times has outplayed people in the legal profession and some other things that he's done. So, you know, don't be too sure that it's the end of Zuma. It might be, it might not be. I don't see how he can stay on as president at the moment. It seems to me that that's pretty much, you know, it hangs in the balance. But, yeah, I'm not so sure that he's just going to disappear.
So for now, we keep those champagnes iced, on ice, rather. We don't have to really start popping them.
I would say wait a few days before you pop them. And I would also, would caution to say, you know, and I think this is a really big danger. We in this country, maybe I was talking about Zuma going, and then everything's going to be rosy again.
It won't be, actually. It's a long way.
Hang all the problems of this country on one man.
No.
And in as much as he has been responsible for a number of things that maybe we wouldn't, or we definitely didn't want to happen, I want to caution the fact that Zuma going means that everything's suddenly going to come right, and that Cyril Ramaphosa is some sort of, you know,
he's no angel
and
himself.
Savior. Because I think we have to be very careful about that.
And I mean, whilst we still have a minute, I just want to ask you that, remember the homily of Bishop Sipuka at the closing mass of the Bishop's Conference, when he mentioned that we as a church should stop bashing the president, or everything, everyone bashing Jacob Zuma about it. the man on the street has a different opinion. And on Spotlight, obviously, that article of the homily was carried. And what do we say now that, I mean, how do we tell the people of God to say, yes, as you say, it's not one man's problem, it's a collective, as the ANC say, it's a collective problem, and the bishops are asking us to stop bashing the president?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was, I mean, so Foucault says, we need to be very careful where we have once again aligned everything and said every single political problem in this country is because of Jacob Zuma. Mm. And he said that Zuma bashing has become the kind of narrative of the country. There are many other challenges that face this country. And because we're so busy Zuma bashing, we've lost a sense of what those other challenges are. And I think that is true. I mean, you know, so one of the things the bishops discussed, for example, at their recent plenary in depth was the issue of racism.
Yes.
You know, racism is not a problem that rolled out from Jacob Zuma. I mean, the corruption in corporate life in this country, which stretches back way into, you know, into apartheid times, where there's always been this kind of corrupt relationship between government and the corporates. There was that book that was written about apartheid guns and money.
So if we
want a society that is kind of moral and that is for the common good, we have to recognize that those kinds of issues are major elephants in the room that need to be dealt with. It's easy to bash government, and we all do that very well about corruption.
Yes.
But McKinsey, KPMG, some of the banks have proved to us that in the corporate life of this country, there's also massive corruption. And we can't blame Zuma for
that.
To keep a balance of perspective.
That's quite interesting. Thank you, Father Russell. Thank you so much. You might as well go to Cape Town, carry with you your 50 liters of water as you go to Cape Town, regardless of the postponement of SONA. Take that just that day to Cape Town with 50 liters of water.
I think I'd rather stay at home and pray for them that they would have rain. That might be a better use of my time.
Thank you so much, indeed. Thanks, it was good having you, Father Russell. Thank you very much.
All the best.
Thank you, then. There was Father Russell Pollitt from the Jesuit Institute. We're talking about, we're getting his reaction on the postponement of the State of the Nation address. 27 minutes after the hour 4 here on Radio Veritas, the good news for the church.